I'm Rachel, the creative director for Ram Dass's Love Serve Remember Foundation, and I'd like to welcome you to our Inner Academy, a virtual Dharma hall where our family of wisdom teachers will help you navigate your daily life by bringing ancient wisdom into a modern context. With over 200 hours of audio and video teachings, meditations, and practices from teachers like Ram Dass, Krishna Dass, Sharon Salzberg, Jack Kornfield, Roshi Joan Halifax, Joseph Goldstein, and many more, the Inner Academy is your core resource for finding balance, presence, and navigating the ups and downs of your daily life. The Inner Academy has guidance for every step of your journey. Choose from an annual or monthly membership and gain access to past and future courses, retreat replays, virtual community, and much more. If you've been familiar with Love Serve Remember Foundation for a while, you'll know that most of our offerings are given freely or on a sliding scale basis. So when you subscribe to the Inner Academy, you're paying it forward and bolstering our ability to continue creating accessible offerings for all in the future, as Ram Dass wished for us to do. Be here now and start your journey with Ram Dass's Inner Academy today. For more, visit ramdass.org/innerAcademy.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Krishna Dass Pilgrim Heart Hour. This podcast is a manifestation of our interconnected lives, and we wish to keep it free at all costs, if you can say that. So, we are dependent on the generosity of you, our listeners. So, please go to mindpodnetwork.com/KD and either use the donate button or just bookmark the Amazon portal. We receive a small percentage of however much you pay for whatever you bought. Nothing extra for you, but a tangible contribution, if small, for us. You could also sign up for a free trial with the voluminous audible.com. We get something out of that too. We thank you for the support and allowing us to continue presenting Krishna Dass's excellent talks.
So, you remember that Ram Dass said that when he wrote Miracle of Love, he was still fascinated and fixated the miracle aspect of what happened around Maharaji, because it was miracles 24/7 and one kind or another. And he felt that when he wrote Be Here Now also, so he felt that he had missed the point to some degree, and that over the years he had recognized that in fact the love was really the essence of it all. And of course when he always told us that story back in the old days when we first met him in 68 and 69, my mom took me. We were, of course, also very impressed by the miracles, but we got the same hit that he got from Maharaji when Maharaji said spleen about his mother being big here and dying of spleen. And at that point, he fell apart. It didn't have anything to do with what Maharaji said, the content of what he said, but at that moment, the stars were right, you know, and his heart opened. And not an emotional heart, but kind of the shell around the true nature was cracked, and he experienced being home in a way that he had never experienced before. And that's what we experienced when he would tell that story and we were with him. So I said to him, you're wrong, right? You said that, but that's not true. But then this morning, and then I woke up with my thinking, in the middle of the night, I said to myself, no, wait a minute, he wasn't wrong. But he also wasn't completely right. And I wasn't wrong either. So, so I came up to him after he talked this morning, and I said, what he said this morning, of course, was how it had been a process of recognizing that even though his so-called ego was fascinated with the miracles, and that's what he was experiencing, what was coming through him was that love and Maharaji's presence. So both were happening at the same time, like he always talks about, the two levels existing at the same time. And I remembered that this last year when I did the CD, Heart as White as the World, there's a bunch of English on there. And this was the first time that I really started writing some stuff in English. And it wasn't easy because English is my native language. And what I discovered is that just like Ram Dass didn't experience the love as it was coming through him, so to speak, when I chant, it doesn't, in some ways, it kind of circumvents my native wiring. You know, my who I think I am, my conventional Western sense of me-ness. It kind of goes around that, and then it goes through it and up and down and all through, and it's okay. But when I tried to write something in English, I discovered I didn't have the wiring to express that love, unconditional love, in English, either for myself or for others, because it made me too vulnerable. I didn't have the wiring to do it. And you know, a couple of years ago, I was in India with Siddhi Ma, who's Maharaj's great devotee. And we were talking, I said, Ma, what is it with Westerners? What is it with us? We can't accept love. It's just, what's going on with us? So she said a few things, and then one of the main things she said at that time, she said was, when you were a child, love was used and affection was used to control you, to get you to do what your parents wanted you to do. And you knew that you had to show them what they wanted to see in order to get the stuff that kept you alive and the affection that you needed. So I thought, that's interesting, yeah. And then about a week later, you know, I talked often about Mr. and Mrs. Tiwari and the family and how close I was to this. So the oldest grandson of Mr. Tiwari was being married. And all the grandchildren, all the cousins came from all over for the wedding. And they came up to the temple to get the blessings of the temple and to see Ma. And all these young people were in the back of the temple, and I was there with them, and they were all sitting around, and Ma was talking to them all, and they'd known her their whole lives, and there was so much sweetness there between them, you know, between the cousins, so much sweetness. I was looking at this family, and I was starting to cry. It was so beautiful and so sweet, and she just turned to me and she said, "You see, this is what you missed by being born in America." And I thought, right on. I don't know about you, But I had a good family, not a bad family. But that kind of sweetness, we didn't have that. We didn't have that. And that sense of trusting the love. Like Tiwari and I, we used to argue. He would pick fights with me on purpose. He would just look for the buttons and then push them. And I would explode and he would love it. He'd go, ah, you will fire upon me now? And he wanted a party. And the thing was, he wanted, we could get angry and fight and look in each other's eyes and go like, this is allowed? Wow. You can yell at somebody. You can really, you know, really express yourself and not, you know, not where, see, in their family, they yelled, they screamed, they loved, they did everything. And nobody was at all afraid that anybody really would ever throw them out of their heart. They might be angry, but the love was just completely understood. Not only understood, it was recognized and it was appreciated and it was expressed. But that didn't prevent them from, you know, screaming and yelling. In fact, it allowed it to happen. Nobody screamed in my house. Don't talk to me like that. Don't look at me like that. You know, there was, and so. So this has been a process. So Ram Dass and I were talking about how Maharaji's grace and how this path for us, we experience it as a ripening process. A ripening process, and we're developing slowly. You know, Tiwari, another thing Tiwari once said, he said, this path, he said, this is like loading explosives, he said. You know, you have to do it very carefully, one thing of dynamite at a time, otherwise the whole thing goes up. Everybody, we think we want it all right away. Forget about it. You know, Raman Maharshi said, when he had his experience that Ramesh Radhas described this morning, he said he felt, and then he left home, he felt he was a tiny little speck of dust riding on a tidal wave. This is big time stuff. We've got all kinds of stuff locked up in there. All kinds of fear, all kinds of vulnerabilities, all kinds of stuff. And these practices give us the strength over time to let go of that stuff and learn to be who we are in a good, simple way. And that's the way the name works. It works kind of under the radar, the repetition of the name. It kind of inflates that part of you that was crushed by the way we were born, the culture we were born, what did our parents believe about themselves, right? My parents weren't happy. And when I saw my uncles and my aunts and my grandparents, they were nice, they were loving, but I could see, whoa, there's some loose screws in there. I could see it, it was right there. I grew up with that. I mean, I knew they weren't happy. Nobody was happy. Nobody knew what was going on. And I was looking around thinking like, what is this? How does this work? When nobody understands anything, how does this work? So, through the repetition of the name, this presence, this place within us is uncovered slowly, gently, gradually, but thank you very much. Inevitably. It's inevitable. You're on a train. Train's going down the track. You're at the front of the train, right? You're running as fast as you can in the opposite direction that the train is going, towards the back of the train. It doesn't matter. When the train gets to the station, you're at the station. That's inevitable. Once you start this, it just keeps going. With you or without you. Because, you know, we come and go, we do more or less practice, we get lost in our stuff, we come back. But that's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it has to be. I used to want to be a yogi and go to a cave in India, right? Forget about it. You know what's in those caves? Scorpions, snakes, and no TV. No way I'm going to a cave. No. And there's nothing to lay down on. Some straw with fleas and bugs. It's horrible. So, we are doing, you know, Maharaj used to joke, there's the Ashtanga, eight-limbed yoga. Maharaj used to joke that the Westerners were qualified for the five-limbed yoga, which is kane, pine, sone, gup, ngumne. Kane is eating. Pine is drinking tea. Drinking, but he meant tea. Kane, pine, sone, sleeping. Wandering about and gossiping. This was the five-limbed yoga we were qualified for. And he was right. Here we are, right? What do we do? Yeah, we do a little ram-ram, and then what time is the Knick game on, you know? That's what we can do. That's okay. It's all okay because the process is going on. We're still in the sun of that presence all the time. We're never outside of that presence because that presence is who we are. It's who these great beings know themselves to be also. So whether we come and we go, in, out, awake, asleep, up and down, we're still in the presence. And that presence is ripening us. You can't go faster, you can't go slower. Just lay back and enjoy the ride as much as possible. And if you don't enjoy the ride, see a shrink. Or something. Because enjoying the ride is part of life. Being unhappy is not a requirement. It is not a requirement. In fact, contentment is considered to be a great boon, a great addition to the path, a great quality to have. That wherever you are, you're content reasonably. So, this is it's an important point to me because I grew up with so much self-loathing. Grew up, what time is it, you know? Well, until Steve's class, I was full of self-loathing. Then it hurt too much to remember it. So the issue of how I feel about myself is a really, you know, what's the quality of my day? Right? What's the quality of my day? So I've done a lot of ram-rams over the years, and the quality of my day has only begun to change recently. And I notice that, as much as I hate to admit it, I actually mope around less than I used to. How did this happen? I love moping. This is my whole life. What happened? So, the way this works is that this, and they say that the more, as you do these practices, as you get on with your work and your life, the stuff that you don't need leaves your life, and you may not even notice. And the stuff that you need comes into your life, and you wind up spending less time in negative states of mind without realizing it. When you're not unhappy, you don't necessarily notice you're not unhappy. Or when you spend less time in negative states of mind as we ripen. And this practice of the repetition of the name, for instance, is a very subtle and very deep and very powerful practice. And And it works, and it works under the radar. You think it's all about, it's not all about what happens right here now and whether we get off and we had a good kirtan and whatever that means, right? It's not about that at all. Every repetition of the name, of any one of these names from any tradition, is a seed. It's a seed. And it has a power, just like a seed has a power. You look at a seed, you don't see the tree right away, but it's in the seed. Every repetition of these names is like a seed, every single repetition. And as Sri Ramakrishna said, who was a great saint in the 1800s, these seeds are carried by the wind, and they land on the roof of an old house, right, in the middle of nowhere in India. And in those days, the roofs of houses were sometimes made but from tiles that were baked in the sun, a mixture of clay and earth. They were baked in the sun, then they were put on the houses. So the seed is carried, and it gets stuck between the tiles of this old house, on the roof of this old house. And over time, and seasons, and rain, and wind, and sun, and snow, the tiles begin to break down. And then the seeds take root. And they grow and grow and grow. And they destroy the roof of the house. And they keep growing, and they destroy the whole house. Ramakrishna says, that house is who we think we are. Because we think we are who we think we are, so we act that way. If we didn't think we were this way, if we didn't have programs running that tell us all this information, false information about ourselves, I'm this, I'm that, I'm here, I'm there, I'm this way and that way, all that stuff, we would be in God all the time. But those programs and those thoughts that we automatically believe, that is a conglomeration of stuff that we, that is who we think we are. This practice destroys that false sense of self over time, little by little. And when the walls are gone and the roof is gone, there's only one space. There's no separate temporary divisions in that space. The me was what was locked up in that house. Whereas all around it was open space. So when we no longer think we are A, B, C, D, E, F, G, all that stuff, we're not. We recognize our true nature. Gradually, but inevitably. So over these years, I actually started to develop new wiring. Some little guy's been sneaking in and rewiring this thing. And so my experience, the quality of my days has changed little by little as time went on. Chances are, even if you have a big bang, you know, then you have a big bomb after that. You drop. Every time you go up, you come down. It's not about all that. It's about removing the dust from the mirror of our hearts so that the reflection is clean and pure and accurate and shows us what's really there. And that's love and happiness, and all those corny things. You can't just stop thinking these thoughts, the thoughts of who we are. Where is the thought to grab it and crush it? You can't do that. You learn to let go. How do you learn? That's what we're doing. We're training ourselves to let go. Every time you're thinking, you come back to the chant. And that makes
it easier the next time,
over and over again. Every time. So, that was a good question.
Someone told me that that last summer in 73, when just before Maharaji left the body, he was sending people back to America, sending the Westerners away. And somebody said to him, one of the Westerners said, "We don't want to go. We want to stay with you." And he said, "Nate, you can't stay with me. You must go. Your families are waiting. Your lives are waiting for you there." And besides, he said, "I gave you more than I gave the Indians. I let you love me unconditionally. I let you love me unconditionally." Of course, there were many Indian peoples who did have that relationship with them, but many of them didn't. But this intense group of insane Westerners who just wanted to sit and look at him like this all day long, he let us. Do you have a feel for who could say that? Who can say that? "I let you love me unconditionally." It means that one time he looked at one of the Western women, he said, "Why do you love me?" And she said, "I don't know." He said, "You love me because I love you." This is love talking. This is love talking. He is love. He is that. And he opens the door for us to enter into it. We want to enter into it, but we don't even know where the door is. He opens the door and says, "Hey, come here." "I let you love me unconditionally." Who lets you do that? Only someone who is unconditional love can say that, can do that. So basically, he just ruined our lives. I mean, what's ever going to be enough after that? We've spent our whole lives trying to forget that. And we can't. So now we just gave up. The hell with it. Let's just go for it. Love. Because we all had so many karmas to burn off here. It's not a mistake. Ram Dass had lots of stuff to go through. All of us had lots of stuff to go through before we were ready to say, "All right, right, okay, forget that stuff. This is what I want. And it's already been given to me. It's been done. It's done already." In fact, Maharaji once said to somebody, she asked for something. He said, "Nah, don't worry. I've done everything. I just leave the mind to you." "Thanks. I've already done everything. I just leave the mind to you to figure it out next. It's done already. Now, just let it happen." So when we do these practices like this, we're putting ourselves in harmony with that ripening process. We're strengthening that surrender muscle. It's not easy to surrender. It's the goal. It's the end of the path. Surrender, you don't do it. It happens by grace at the right time. All we're doing in the meantime is cleaning up the room so when surrender walks in, they can sit down. That's it. He said, once I take your hand, I never let go, even if you let go of mine. And for me, he added, why do you run away from me? And he pointed to another guy that said, even when I run away from him, he doesn't run away from me, but you run away. I said, I don't run away. Yes, you run away. But yeah, I guess I do. Once I take your hand, I never let go. Even if you let go of mine. He said it all. He did it all. But we weren't paying attention. You know, we couldn't. We had so much karmic dust on our glasses. We couldn't see what was going on. But over this time, that process is still working for everybody. And gradually we begin to see all the blessings we have and all the beauty that's in our lives and in our own hearts.
Thank you for listening to the Krishna Das Pilgrim Heart Hour. We really appreciate your support and hope you'll continue that support by going to mindpodnetwork.com/KD and clicking on the donate button or using our amazon.com portal for all of your purchases. Thank you. Namaste.